Well, let's take our Bibles now and turn to John chapter 1. And we are doing a series on soul winning and people that in the Bible from the very beginning there were soul winners. We talked about John the Baptist last Sunday night. And I believe that he was definitely a witness and a soul winner. And those he impacted many, many thousands because of that. John chapter 1. And let's begin tonight. We'll reread some of the verses and go a little further than we did in the last message. But in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God." God help us to say that to people. At least point out who he is. "Which taketh away the sin of the world." He's the only one to do that, isn't he? "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now notice these two verses. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. I'm glad that Andrew was a soul winner. Andrew is seldom mentioned in the New Testament. You don't find his name mentioned very much. And every time you find Andrew's name mentioned, it is associated with the fact that he is introducing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is showing them who the Messiah is, who Christ really is. The first one he introduced to Jesus was Peter. He introduced Peter to the Lord, his brother. What a great thing for him to introduce his brother to the Lord and to see that his brother got saved. The next time we see him, he is witnessing and introducing, as it were, a lad. That lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he introduced that little boy to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know what Jesus could do. That was a way of Andrew introducing him. And then we have the Greeks that he witnessed to. Nothing is more important than winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these other things that we might do or might be involved in, whatever the ministry may be, whatever we're doing, the bottom line, I don't care if it's the 29ers or the youth department, the bottom line is we're trying to win people and bring them to Christ. What could be more important than that? There are a lot of churches, a lot of religions, there are a lot of movements under the umbrella of Christianity that claim that they're doing what God wants them to do, but they never win people to Christ. They never get them saved. They help them financially. They help them in other ways, and all of that's good in its place, but we don't need a social gospel. We need to preach Jesus Christ and tell them how to go to heaven, how to be saved. Nothing is more important. And the Lord is the one who called Andrew to that task. He said to him on one occasion, it's recorded in another place, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now that's exactly what he said to us. What was Andrew? He was a disciple. What are you if you're saved? You're a Christian. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, follow me. If we're going to follow Jesus, we are going to be witnesses, verbal witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Why did Jesus come, by the way? He said, I came to seek and to save that which was on its way to hell, that which was lost, people that were lost in their sins. And that is my task tonight, and that is your task. How do we know that? John 20:21. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You say, as the Father sent me, so send I the preacher. So send I the staff. So send I the deacons. Then after that, we don't have any responsibility. That's not right, is it? So send I you. If you are a Christian and you're a disciple of Christ, there is a responsibility on your life and my life to tell others about Jesus Christ. Andrew, by the way, was sort of an ordinary type person. We never read, it's not recorded, that he ever preached one sermon. Now, he may have, I don't know, but it isn't recorded in the Word of God. Peter preached, Paul preached. We know about Mars Hill message, and we know about all of that stuff. We don't know much about Andrew preaching a message anywhere. He was, we might say, just an ordinary Christian disciple. Very important man, no doubt. But he was one who had in his heart the business right away of leading somebody to Christ, bringing his brother, bringing Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we know, Peter preached a lot of messages. Peter oftentimes spoke up when he shouldn't speak up. And sometimes he had that foot and mouth disease, you know, like some of us Baptists do from time to time. But one thing he did, brother, he preached. And it was his brother that led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached many, many sermons and many, many people got saved. Andrew is for you and me tonight an illustration of a soul winner. And he gives us that illustration, and we'll cover it as quickly as we can, in about three different aspects. And first of all, we want to look at the soul winner's task. In verse 14, look at what it says in the first part, or verse 41 rather, in the first part. He, and underscore this word, mark it in your Bible if you're used to marking in your Bible. He first, that's an important word. He first, what did he do? He won his brother first to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he won others, no doubt, but he wanted his brother to be saved. He was immediately concerned. When we get saved, we should be immediately concerned that other people get saved. We should want to see them come to Christ. And most of us, right after we got saved, had that spirit, had that attitude. We just couldn't wait to let somebody else know what had happened to us to try to get them to experience the same thing. And he was immediately concern about his brother. May I say to you tonight that we need to guard that desire with all of our hearts. Don't ever let it dissipate and get away from you. Guard that desire in your heart like you once had right after you got saved. Keep that in your soul. Keep that in your spirit. Keep that as part of your life every day, that you want to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them about it. And then there's another word there. He first findeth. Findeth. Well, I don't know how far away he was and how far he had to go to find him, but he went somewhere and did something to find him. Wherever he was, he went to find him. That's what missions is about. That's what we're about. That's what we're trying to do, is go find them, the lost, wherever they are. He searched for him. And I believe that was important. Now look at Luke 14 just a second. Just turn back there. Keep your place where you are. But look at Luke 14. Luke 14, verses 4 through 6. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath? And they could not answer him again to these things. Now he's making an impact and making a definite point as he talks about the importance of something in the animal world. But he's telling us there's something far more important to us, and that is that people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to search very far until you find an ox in the ditch or until you find an animal that has a need. You don't have to go very far until you look right around where you are and you are impressed with the fact there's somebody that needs Jesus Christ. We don't have to look very far in our society to find people like that. They're all around us. He findeth him. He looked for him. And when he saw, he realized that he needed Christ. Now, it was his own brother. He mentions that in this verse. He first findeth whom? His own brother. He findeth his own brother. Isn't it good if we can see all of those in our family circle come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't we want our mothers, our daddies, our brothers, our sisters, those in our immediate family, our family circle, and even those that are close to that? Don't we want to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to want to see them come to Christ. I found out this, for most of us, it's easier to witness to somebody else's brother than it is to witness to your own brother. But would you let that stop you from witnessing to your own brother and sister because you're afraid you'll be misunderstood or a little pride, and know that they died and you're not sure they're saved, and you think about them later on and think about them being incarcerated in hell, suffering, and never having an opportunity to get out, and saying then when it's too late, I wish I had confronted them. I wish I had told them about the gospel a little bit more. I wish I'd have been a little firmer with my brother and my sister. I've known people who cried by the bedside of their brother and sister, wept, because they had intended to come when they got in the hospital and tell them about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. And by that time, they were in a coma, and they couldn't even tell them about Jesus Christ. God help us to have the courage and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember once talking to my wife's brother. I went to see him in the hospital. I knew I should witness to him. I lived 108 miles away, and I was there. And I went in, and I may have had some other business in the city, I don't remember. And we knew he was very serious. And I left, and I didn't tell him about the Lord. I went down the road a few miles, and the Spirit of God said, now you know better than that. And I turned my car around, went back, drove back to the hospital, and talked to her brother Bobby, and got some things settled, and got some satisfaction in my heart. It was hard to do, but I'm glad I did it now. And I believe that many of you would be glad. Carolyn had another brother that was very well off and had been very successful in life and never was really happy in maybe a marriage relationship, but a very educated, well-educated person and made a lot of money. But he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that his brother, Carolyn's brother, Herbert, who is a pastor, talked to him about Jesus Christ. And then he contacted a missionary who lived in Florida where his brother had retired. And this missionary lady, who had been on the field many, many years, who had retired and had come back home, and like Brother Jones, didn't quit, just kept on witnessing, kept on serving God any way that she could. And she went by and told him about Christ, gave him a book, and thank God he got saved. Earl got saved, gloriously saved, and had a good, solid, strong testimony before he died and went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes they're the harder ones to tell, But they still need the gospel like anybody else and those that are around us. Let me ask you tonight, do you have any lost loved ones? Do you have any lost loved ones? And you think, is the Lord laying somebody on your heart? Is the Lord making you think of somebody right now? Then by the grace of God, no matter how cold, how hard, how indifferent they are, have the courage and lower ourselves as far as humility and don't be proud. And by God's grace, tell them they need to be saved and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can be a blessing to us and to those who are nearest us. Now, we see not only the soul winner's task, but the soul winner's testimony. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now, he's just giving his testimony. He didn't go into a lot of theological jargon there, did he? He really didn't. And I believe that we want to guard against easy believism. We want to present the facts. But he introduced him to Christ so that there was no doubt about it. When he came and that was finalized, he was really and truly born again, born from above, born by the Spirit of God. But it started with a spoken testimony. It started with his speaking up and telling him about it. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him. He spoke up and gave his testimony to him. And it was a spoken testimony. I believe it's important to live a consistent Christian life. I believe your testimony is more powerful if you're living right. I do. I've had some members who lived like the devil and went around witnessing to people, and people would come to me and say, why is that guy telling me I need to be a Christian? I know what he's up to, or I know what she's up to. And you think I'm joking about it. I'm not joking about it. I've had people come or call me and tell me. And they acted like they were the great witnesses and so on and so forth. You need to have a life that's going to back up your testimony. That is important. How many of you believe that's important? Say amen. Amen. It is important. But that never substitutes for going and telling people. He says, show them how to be saved. Tell them how to be saved. Verbally, with your lips, with your tongue, from your heart, tell them how to be saved. You know, we can talk about almost any kind of subject. Not all kinds of subjects, but most any kind of subjects. I've met a few people who thought they knew something about every subject. And they'll tell you what they know about every subject. And sometimes they don't know half of what you already knew before they wasted your time. But it be that as it may, we need to be able to talk about more than just the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. And I'm not picking on what you said. I'm a Ranger fan myself. I think I'm about ready to get rid of the Cowboys, but too many of them getting arrested, and Jerry Jones charges too much for the tickets. So I could never do that. I started to say I might become a Redskin fan, but no, that's never going to happen by the grace of God. Never going to happen. His wife's a Redskin fan, but he's not. You're not, are you? No, right. I knew I shouldn't even ask you that question. But we can talk about the Cowboys, and we can talk about the Rangers, and we can talk about sports, and we can talk about fishing, we can talk about education, and we can talk about our children, we can talk about our grandchildren. The man said, Did I tell you about my grandchildren? Say no, and I thank you so much. Did I show you their pictures? No, I'm sure glad you didn't, you know. But we need to talk about Jesus, amen. Talk about Jesus. Speak. I know the old flesh doesn't like that. And I promise you the devil doesn't like it. But God likes it. Jesus likes it. Speak and get ready and be willing to speak up for the Lord. As I said, this was a very simple testimony. A simple testimony. A child could understand this testimony. Really, he didn't say a whole lot. He said, we found the Messiah. I want to tell you about somebody that did something for my life. And the Lord would use, listen to me, don't ever think that God cannot or will not use your very simple testimony. He will use your testimony. The problem is not our testimony. The problem is that we don't testify. We don't get it out there. Psalm 50:23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation properly or right will I show the salvation of the Lord. If we talk about the Lord and how to be saved, he says, I'll let you see people get saved. I'll show you the salvation of the Lord. Acts 8:4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel or preaching the word. Even the persecution was for the purpose of spreading them out so that they would tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a very simple testimony. It was a spoken testimony, and it was a sure testimony. It was a sure thing. He knew. You see, he had met the Messiah. He had been saved and converted already, and he knew that that was the answer. Would you agree with me tonight that Jesus is the answer? He is the answer. Nobody else is the answer. Allah's not the answer. Allah doesn't exist. Muhammad's not the answer. The Hindu gods are not the answers. The Buddhists don't have the answer. But thank God Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. It was a sure testimony. You see, he knew he had what people needed. Folks, we've got what they need. We have what they need. We have the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not talking about your measly pocketbook. It's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ that we carry around in these earthen clay vessels. We have all of this, and God has given it to us to give to other people. And the world needs it. He said, I know you need it, brother, and I'm going to tell you about it because I know the joy it's going to bring in your life. On every hand, there is a lack of certainty in our society today. I've never seen so many people so afraid of everything. And we have reason to be concerned about what's going on. We really do. And some of the things that you see that are happening, as I've been preaching about financially and all that's going to take place, you cannot imagine the interest we're paying every day on loans we've already made. And we owe China more money than we owe anybody else on the face of the earth. And just in case you haven't noticed in this last episode, when the United States has called along with some others for the no-fly zone, that China is not really for us doing that. And I'm telling you, all of this is going to come to fruition in some way someday. And we know that China has a big part in it in the end time, but I'm just talking about in our lifetime. And people see that problems are terrible. I was talking to one of our men this morning, truck driver. I said, what are you paying for diesel fuel now? And he said, on an average of $4 plus just for diesel fuel. I said, well, that sort of makes your job hard, doesn't it? And he said, well, I said, what do? Just pass it on to the people where you deliver it and what you're doing. He said, primarily we do that. And then that all comes down. And guess who winds up getting the final dollar bill? We do, the consumer. All of that, and I don't have time to develop that message, but we've talked a whole lot about it, that part of the message, but we've talked a whole lot about it recently. But here's the thing about it. We have what they need. And you know what? If we give them Jesus, they can calm down and begin to rest, be at peace, not worry about what's going to happen in the future. We know through prophecy a lot of things are going to happen in the future. But I thank God I also know that Jesus has my future in his hands, and I'm not worried about it tonight. I don't care what happens on the face of the globe. I'm not worried one bit about it. If we have financial Armageddon, it's going to come. If we have all of this stuff, it's going to come. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. Thank God I'm ready to meet God. I'm saved. I'm born again. I have the peace in my soul, the peace in my heart, that I'm ready to meet my Maker if that should come. And all of us should realize that. Don't bite your fingernails off and take too many tranquilizers. That won't help you a bit. The Bible tells us, what good does worrying do? You know, some people are worry warts. They worry and worry and worry, and they turn around and look and say, what good did that do? All it did was give you an ulcer, headaches, and make you go to the doctor and get some more pills, maybe. And I'm not against medicine when it's needed. A lot of it probably isn't needed. But at any rate, that's a whole other message. But I'm just saying to you, we have what they need. What is that? Rest and peace in Jesus. That's where peace will come. It was also a sanctified testimony. And he used Peter's mind. You see, I think he knew what Peter was thinking about. Here's what he said: "We have found the Messiah." Well, what were the Jews looking for? Who were they looking for? And who are they looking for now? They're looking for the Messiah. Some of them don't realize he's already come and died and paid their sin debt. Some, thank God, a completed Jew knows, and they've been born again and saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But some of them are still looking for the Messiah. That's all right. Approach him right there and talk to them. That's what he did. He said, "I want to tell you something. We have found the Messiah." And Peter, I know you've been talking about it. We've had coffee over that, or grape juice, or whatever they drank back then. Probably root beer, as far as I'm concerned. But at any rate, he knew what Peter's mind was thinking about. Peter was looking for the Messiah. You know, it'd be wise on our part to look at people's interest, what they're talking about, jump in there, talk to them a little while, get in on that conversation, meet them where they are, and then use that and lead that to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we have the soul winner's task, the soul winner's testimony, and very quickly, the soul winner's triumph, verse 42. "And he brought him to Jesus." He brought him to Jesus. I think he was glad that he did. Have you ever done that? Have you ever yourself, one time in your life, brought somebody to Jesus? You personally talked to them, won them to the Lord, showed them how to be saved, showed them they were a sinner, Jesus died for them, and that he paid for their sin debt, and then offered them the opportunity to be saved. Have you ever done that? If you have, and they really got saved, and you saw them walk the aisle and get baptized and get involved in a local New Testament church, then your soul has been blessed. What a privilege it is. Nothing brings me any more joy than to win people to Christ. Nothing makes me any madder at myself or sadder than when I'm not doing what I think I should be doing to win enough people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to constantly, just like you do, get that realignment from the Word of God, from the heart of God, to go on and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that we can do that. He brought him, led him to Christ. Do you know most people get saved because somebody loves them and tells them about Jesus? You stop and think in your own life, how did you get saved? Where did you get saved? When did you get saved? And most of us will say, somebody thought enough of me. It might have been grandma, might have been mother, daddy, might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been a preacher preaching in a revival, I don't know. But somebody, many times it's on a personal basis where they told you about Christ and you got saved. That's great, and that's what we need to do. Andrew was the human link between Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, between his brother and Christ. Is it worth it? Well, I think it is. I think that he thinks that it is. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus talked to him and started a conversation with him in that latter part of verse 42. And I believe it was worth it for him to give his testimony. How did Andrew feel about it? Well, I don't know how he felt about it right then. Probably good about it. But I do believe this. When he was standing out there in the crowd, and Peter, on the day of Pentecost, got up there and preached the truth about Jesus Christ, I have an idea. Oh, Andrew said, "Lord, I sure am glad I told Peter about Jesus." And then when those 3,000 plus walked that aisle, I believe he was saying, "Sure am glad I told him about Jesus. I may not get to preach, and I'm not eloquent like Peter is, and Peter can get up there in front of a crowd, and he can tell them all of that stuff. But one thing about it, I told Peter who Jesus was, and now he's preaching the gospel, and thank God for it." People all around us, relatives, just like Peter, others that are all around us that we need to tell about Jesus, we need to be true to it. Will we be true to giving out the gospel? May God help us to determine in our hearts that we'll do it. We're going to look at some other lives of people and how they did it, but I believe all of us have that responsibility. And I can tell you tonight, dear friend, Jesus died for you. I'm going to witness to you right now. you're a sinner. Jesus died for you, paid your sin debt. And he says, if you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and come to him, whosoever, I like that word, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It doesn't matter if they're Mayan Indians. It doesn't matter if they're black, red, yellow, white. Whosoever will may come. But they got to know and got to hear before they can come to Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. I can tell you tonight that if you're lost, Jesus loves you and he'll save you if you'll come to him. And would you at least talk to the Lord a little bit about it and ask him to touch your heart and to help you to be a better soul winner? I believe we all could do that. May God help us to think about it. May these messages just stick with us and reverberate in our minds and our hearts. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit will call them back to me after I've studied them and preached them and call them back to our hearts. Father, help us. Help us to realize that people without Christ, people who've never been saved, even if they're ignorant and haven't had the opportunity, they still die without Jesus. That ignorance is not a savior, not at all. We have to reach them with the gospel. Help us to be faithful, to be soul winners. I pray that I would be a better soul winner. Pray that our staff would be, that our deacons would be, and their wives and our people. God, help us to be a church with a broken heart for a lost and dying world. And only you can do that through the power of obedience to your word and the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who speaks to our hearts about it. I pray that our boys and girls would want to be soul winners. I pray, dear God, that our bus workers would be soul winners, our Sunday school teachers, our precious young people, our teenagers. Help us to be soul winners. In Jesus' name we pray.